Well, great morning. How's everyone doing? Welcome to all of you, those who are here in person and those who are joining us virtually, because this is the day of your divine appointment. All right now. And it's also the day that the Lord has made, so let us rejoice and be glad in it, right? Right. So I always give thanks to God for this opportunity to be of service and thank our beloved Reverend Sylvia for the honor to do so. And I also ask that you keep our beloved Reverend in prayer. She's doing a little recovery from a little slight health challenge that she had. So I am here to share with you today on her behalf. And I just ask God to let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Okay. You know, the Bible is the most instructive history that we possess, for it is truly the story of each one of us from beginning to end. The teaching of the scriptures can reveal the truths of our potential and guide us individually in learning and growing and being what God intends us to be. And I know a lot of people fear it or have put it down or all the things that may be in it that are misconstrued. But I want to share some stories from my perspective, that metaphysical perspective today, because I do believe it is our story. It's a guide. And it is the evolution, I feel, of our spiritual nature. As many of you know, and some who don't, a character's name in the Bible reflects their nature. And if you accept that idea that each character reflects you, then it is your nature or my nature that I'll be talking about today. Now, not much is said in Genesis about why God called Abraham to leave his country. But theologians report that humans had turned from God. So God focused his attention on one man, Abraham, and he made promises to Abraham. So the story begins. In Genesis 12:1, the Lord said this to Abraham: "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you." And you know that old sitcom, it's like, what you talking about? I'm sure you've experienced that and probably looked around like, who's talking to me? Asking me to get out of my comfort zone and move from everything I've ever known. And this can take many forms. Deciding to change careers, getting into a relationship, getting out of a relationship, moving to a new area of the country, going back to college for additional education, leaving a good-paying job that's really not right for you, marriage, divorce, or marrying again, all of these things. You may not have had a specific plan or roadmap when those things occurred, but you had something else holding it all together. That something else, whether you knew it or not, was faith. God commanded Abraham to leave all that was comfortable so that he could go places where no man or woman had gone before. And promises were made to Abraham with this command. And these are the promises found in Genesis 12:2-5. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all people on earth will be blessed through you." So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Wow, what a great deal for Abraham. Not only would he move, but he had all of these blessings from God to go along with it. So he was excited. He was on a new venture and had faith in what he was doing. He was being divinely guided and prospered. And I know you've had that feeling before when the decision was made, when you had faith in what you wanted to do and you were ready to go. This covenant is for us, and it represents the promise each of us receives when we hear and feel within us the awakening call of spiritual imperatives. Now, these spiritual imperatives are those actions and states of being that we are called to take as a result of our relationship with God through our Christ consciousness. We have tended to live our lives in spiritual blindness, oblivious to the greater purpose available to us as spiritual beings. But then there are those times when we know that we're being called to remember that greater purpose and to make it the sole priority in our lives. We can't do it within the comfortable confines of our previous lives. We have to let go of everything we thought we knew about life, every understanding we inherited from our ancestors and absorbed from the world around us. In Abraham's case, the transition involved a physical journey into the unknown. And sometimes that happens for us as well. But at the most important level, it requires us to step out in consciousness, release our trust in the past and the present, and embrace instead the timeless, infinite guidance of God. It is a profound surrender, but also an empowerment, an activation of innate creative power. And like Abraham, what we blessed will be blessed. What we curse will be cursed. We will move forward as conscious, creative expressions of the divine. And because we do, we will be blessing the entire world. Let's explore these promises a little bit more. First of all, get some clarity on what a promise is. And Webster says that a promise is a declaration assuring that one will do something, a vow, an indication of something favorable to come. Now that sounds good. So peeling it back even further, first, and this is from our Abraham story, from that consciousness, promises were made that we be blessed and those around us also be blessed. And being blessed means to be consecrated, favored, to be happy, to be prosperous. And second, there was the promise to make our name great. Now, who doesn't want to be recognized? You know who I am. That's okay. And finally, to curse those who curse us. Now, wait a minute. We in unity. That can be somewhat disturbing. As with many stories in the Old Testament or the Hebrew Scriptures, keep in mind the state of consciousness the writers were coming from was not fully developed. So let's look at this. As defined by Webster, to curse means to send evil down to some person or thing. But there has to be a deeper meaning. We are the presence and the power of God, absolutely good. So again, remembering the various characters and situations are about us, this expression of cursing by the writer was telling us that when we oppose or harm or even ourselves or others, there are consequences. And it is a reminder that we are accountable for our actions. So when we do not embody blessings in our community, foster environments of support and encouragement and love, we face negative repercussions. We're cursed. So think about that, what's going on in the world today. So maybe not now, but another thing to remember, we were given free will. Darn that free will. Therefore, we brought along with us some company. As stated in Scripture, Abraham brought with him Lot, his nephew, and Sarah, his wife. So let me talk about Lot first. Our Lot nature means hidden or concealed. It stands for that negative side of faith, faith in the material things of the world. There are spiritual laws that operate in this universe. One of those laws is the law of polarity. What does this mean? Now, simply, it just means everything in the universe has its opposite. So where Abraham may represent the beginning of our renewed faith in God and spiritual things, Lot would be faith in that which is material. There is a heavy reliance in our Lot consciousness on what we can see, feel, taste, touch, and smell. It's like looking into a mirror. However, the reflection that peeks out is you in reverse. Does that make sense? I'm reminded at this point of an old comic strip character, and yes, I'm dating myself, and it was Pogo, who said this: we have met the enemy and he is us. This statement was a humorous reflection on human nature and our tendency to create our own problems. Lot is that human nature that we have to deal with. It is something that is very much a part of us, because remember, Lot is Abraham's nephew. They share DNA. Then there's Sarah, Abraham's wife, who is also with him on this journey. She is our feeling, emotional nature, that part of us that is restless, curious, has a strong urge to be creative and expressive. Further, Sarah meant contentious, bitter, quarrelsome. So with these additional pieces of our nature revealed, you know what I'm talking about. But let's hear more of the story. Scripture tells us there was a severe famine in Canaan, which Abraham felt threatened his livelihood and his family's survival. And remember now, he had the promise. He came to the promised land. That was Canaan. Famine was coming. So what did he do? He looked to Egypt, where they came from, wanted to get out of, and its reliable harvest from the Nile. Abraham yielded to his own resolution of the famine issue. However, Abraham feared the Egyptians, So he told Pharaoh that Sarah was his sister. Now, this was a half-truth, as she was his half-sister. Pharaoh was taken by Sarah's beauty, and as a result, Abraham was treated very well, so he capitalized off of that. He was given sheep, cattle, donkeys, servants, and camels, and he was living large. Abraham had turned all of his emotions and feelings, remember Sarah, half-sister, shared same DNA, he turned it all over to materiality or our sense consciousness, which is represented by Pharaoh. Now, in unity, there's this saying, go to God first and then to man as God directs. So what happened, Abraham? What happened, consciousness of faith? Why didn't Abraham go to God for guidance? Do you see how this ties or could possibly tie into your life? I know I see it in mine. What is the first thing you do when troubles come your way? Do you immediately seek God or man? And be honest, you don't have to answer to all of us. You don't have to jump up and shout. Do you go immediately to prayer, or do you call your best friend or a family member? Or maybe you just worry about it. What do? Abraham's behavior posed some challenges, but God promised he would be blessed. So things did not totally go awry, but things weren't quite right either. Scripture goes on to say that serious diseases were inflicted on Pharaoh and his household because he had taken Sarah as a wife. Therefore, it was no surprise that Pharaoh got upset with Abraham as a result of his half-lie and the diseases inflicted, that he boots him out of Egypt with all of his possessions in tow. However, it's all part of our spiritual journey. Remember the promise God makes to us as we move forth on our journey of spiritual unfoldment. And you see something that I keep using? Remember. Remember. Because it's in each one of us. We just need to remember and call it forth of who we are. We are generously blessed and being kept out of harm's way. All we need to do is go to God first, then to man, as God directs. And I know it's simple, just not easy. So let's continue with our Abraham story as our journey of faith unfolds. After leaving Egypt, Abraham returns to Canaan. Scripture goes on to say that Abraham had amassed a lot of wealth while in Egypt, and so did Lot. However, as time went on, it became apparent that Abraham and Lot could not share the same space. Think about it. When you have two conflicting viewpoints, something has to give. So it comes to a point, as stated in Scripture, somebody had to move on. And Joshua says this later on down the line, choose this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So Lot did his thing, Abraham held to his. But Lot initially took what he saw as the best land. And remember now, this is still our consciousness. It was greener and it was richer. But Lot overlooked one thing, the adverse consciousness and error thinking of the people who lived in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we know that story, burned to the ground. But that's the subject of another talk. There is a very important lesson in this for every one of us as we grow in faith and seek to bring forth the fruits of the Spirit. No real spiritual demonstration is made unless the divine law is recognized and obeyed. Choose this day who you will serve. If we try to demonstrate truth through our personal will and effort, we will find that we have fallen short. Even though Abraham knew God's infinite intelligence, power, and trusted God for guidance and inspiration, he made mistakes. He left Canaan soon after he arrived for the old material securities of Egypt during the time of the famine. And he was not forthright about his wife. Think about this. Have you been divinely led to do something, and as soon as the road got rough, as soon as it was tough, it wasn't working out, you wanted to bail out or agree to something that you know wasn't right in an effort to correct the situation? As beings on this spiritual path, we reenact the stories of Abraham and all of the other characters in our lives. We are inspired by being called, but we also wrestle with the contentious emotions, like a Sarah, and making decisions based on outer appearances, like Lot, instead of seeking spiritual guidance. There are periods where we feel we are just not inspired, and we become afraid to really trust the inspiration we originally received. But you know what's wonderful to remember, is that God's Spirit in us can rescue us from any of our mistakes and failures and help us honorably and nobly part company with our Lot-type thoughts and establish us in righteousness. It is then you realize that there is nothing too hard for the Spirit of God in us to overcome. Our choices will reflect what we believe in, even when it's difficult. It is easy to say we have faith when everything's going well. The true test is the decisions we make when no one is watching. Faith in this sense becomes a form of integrity, a soul-deep commitment to living from our center, not from fear or external pressure. As you trust in God's promises and focus your faith on divine principles, God's presence will become increasingly evident and effective in your life. And you know, I've really not shared anything new with you today. What I've done is bring another perspective. At least I hope I have. And what you need to do is work with Spirit to come to your own understanding of your spiritual unfoldment. And it is really needed in the chaos of this world today. You have to get you straight, because you is all of us. Remember Pogo, I have seen the enemy, and the enemy is us. So no matter how we want to push it out on someone else, where is our consciousness? Again, remember, you have been promised generous blessings and protection from harm if you trust, believe, and have faith in God. To trust the unseen is to believe that life is unfolding in your favor, even when you can't yet prove it. It's a quiet agreement between your soul and the universe. It is your belief that you may not know how, but you know you are not lost. Abraham had to learn to trust God's voice above his own understanding, to follow divine instructions even when they made no sense, and to obey without a map. God wasn't changing just Abraham's location. He was changing Abraham's nature, our nature. That is what having true faith is all about, changing our nature. For many, faith is assumed to belong in temples, churches, or the scriptures. But the spiritual meaning of faith goes far beyond religious rituals. It's about trust, not just in a higher power, but in life, in timing, and sometimes in yourself when nothing else makes sense. In a world that demands evidence and guarantees, faith asks you to lean into the unknown. It whispers that you don't need to see the full path to take the next step. That kind of inner grounding doesn't come from logic. It comes from experience, from getting into the stillness, and from something soul deep. And you know what? You don't need a spiritual teacher to tell you what faith is. Your own life shows you that. Think about a time you kept going when things did not make sense. A moment you trusted in a decision without knowing why, or an intuitive feeling you followed even when it wasn't logical. Those were moments of faith. Faith deepens when it's practiced. And you know I'm going to leave with you some tips for that spiritual toolbox. So I want to share with you four of the many practices out there. And it's quick. Instead of rushing to fix or control a situation you may be facing, sit in the silence and meditate. Next, experience nature and observe it with curious emotion. Take a walk, breathe fresh air, and reflect. Do one of those nature walks. Three, light a candle and just gaze at it. And set an intention to trust the unknown. Sometimes you don't have to know it all. Just be. Rest in the moment. And finally, go within and listen to that still small voice. And then out loud, on paper, or in your heart, reflect on what you heard. And you know, this isn't about having a perfect practice. It's about building a relationship with your higher self and trusting the process and doing it over and over when necessary to get it right. Do it over and over to get it right. Abraham's journey offers deep insights into faith. It offers deep insights into trust and obedience. It reminds us that although the path forward may be difficult, it is meaningful and guided by a higher purpose. In moments of uncertainty, fear, or grief, and hear me with this, faith does not erase pain. It supports you through those times. When letting life's obstacles get a hold to you, remember, you are never alone. Spirit leads us, leads you throughout the journey. And know this with me, my final statement here, and it's found in 1 John 4:4. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You can do this. You can do this. Live faithfully. Okay? Peace be with you.